Tzayin?
Yeah.
Perek Aleph, Pasuk Tzayin. Right, the king, after failing to get an answer, a response from the Chachmei Shevet Yisachar, because they were wise enough to slither out of that one. So his next choice were the seven Sarim, which the Gemara Darshans, each one of these Sarim, the name represents one of the Avodas HaKarbanos. So you can say that they're the anti-Karbanos. But Klal Yisrael did the Karbanos. So there was a mishpat now on Vashti. And Vashti dying is that soul of Klal Yisrael, because when she dies, an Esther takes her place. This is a Shas Sakana. There are various points throughout Megillas Esther that are mamish moments of great danger. And this is one of them. Now, of the seven advisors, the last one to be mentioned is Memuchan. Pashtus, we assume that there's going in order of chashivas, of prestigiousness. Vayema Memuchan. Memuchan is the first one to respond. Levnei HaMelech V'Asarim, in front of the king and the officers. Le'al Melech Levadai, not against the king alone, of Savashti, the Vashti, commit this grievous sin. Amalka. Ke'al Kol HaSarim, She sinned against all the officers of Akola Amim, all the nations. Asher b'chol medinas ha-melech ha-chashverish, to reside within all the countries of the melech ha-chashverish. So Haman was magnifying her sin. Now this is interesting, you know. Haman is magnifying, he's making it greater than it was. He's spreading it.
Inciting.
Right. The Gemara in Megillah, Daf Yud Beis, and Beis, Darshan's on this pasuk. Hedyot kovet bereish. Hedyot sometimes means an untalented, plain, not very special person. The root of the word hedyot is the same root as the word idiot. Hedyot and idiot, they do compare something. They share something in common. Hedyot kovet bereish. Apisecho, wisdom would dictate that the more chokhmah, the more wisdom one possesses, then the earlier he should speak in the pecking order of advisors or din, because he probably has something to say. But the Gemara says it's not that way. The one who has very little to say, the one who is very lacking, is very lacking in the tchumah chokhmah. So he's the one that jumps first, because he's missing that chokhmah as well. To know the order, in order to preserve the Seder, to go according to a Seder, and it is madrigas, there's different levels, and to respect them, and to know exactly where your place is, that also takes great chokhmah. And someone that's a hedged has no chokhmah, and this chokhmah he also doesn't have. So the one who has the least to say is the one that speaks first. And the Vilna Gaon says, the Gemara is medayegit from the word Lifnei HaMelech. Vayema Memuchan, Memuchan spoke, Lifnei HaMelech. Lifnei HaMelech doesn't mean, in this case, in front of the king. Lifnei HaMelech means before. He spoke before everyone. So the word Lifnei here means before in time. HaMelech Vasarim. And Memuchan is Haman. The Vilna Gaon continues, and he goes along with the commentary of the previous psukim, that Achashverosh did not want to judge this case by himself, because it's something which is directly negated to the Melucha. For a king to judge a case that's directly relevant to the covenant of the king is something he didn't want to do. It's very difficult to have mercy in such a case, because if you do it, then people are going to take the king's covet lightly. The Benayim Shema Elim, the custom of the kings in those days, if there was a case which involved the Derech Eretz, the covet towards the king, so that he delegated it, and he didn't want to judge himself. Achashverosh's motivations, his motives for doing this, because this would be easier for a panel of judges to let her off the hook. For him to forgive her would have ramifications that he didn't want to face. He'd have to deal with it afterwards. He himself had mercy on her. That would be a flaw in the covered Malchus. But you give it over to the judges, and then you give over the case with a wink and a smile, and you hint to them, and you say, "This is what, you know, I would like the outcome to come out. This is what I'd like the outcome to come out like." So then there's a much greater chance that they're going to get that they'll save Vashti's, they'll spare her life. But if the king himself has to judge the case, he really can't afford to do that. Now Haman wanted Vashti dead. Like all great Rishayim, they see other Rishayim as a threat to them. Vashti was the power behind the throne. Haman wanted to be there. She's in his way. He wants to bump her off. He doesn't, you know, he sees what Ahasuerus is trying to do. And he sees, you know, he's part of the 7-member jury. He sees where they're tilting. He doesn't want to judge by the 7 wimpy officers. He wants to send her back to Ahasuerus. And Ahasuerus will have no choice but to have her put to death. The king himself judges it. He can't be lenient. King judges it. Up your din. So that's why Haman told Ahasuerus that you think that there's a personal case against the covenant of the king. And that's why you're not judging it? It's not so, Ahasuerus. That's not the case. She committed a sin against all the officers. She committed a sin against all the nations and all your medinas. This is not a personal case. This is a what? This is not a personal assault against the king that the king feels he has to remove himself from the case. The entire kingdom is involved in this. He explains in later psukim exactly what she did. Ahasuerus, you don't have to give this over to us to judge it. You can judge it yourself. No problem. Go for it, Ahasuerus. Hmm. You're sending it back to him. I was talking for an idiot. He wasn't so bad. It's interesting. The Vilna Gaon says, you know, what was Haman so eager to have Vashti put to death? I mean, I told you a shot before because he wanted to take her place, but the Vilna Gaon doesn't say that shot. The Vilna Gaon says a different shot. The Vilna Gaon said that Haman married a lady who was much more prestigious than him. She was Nisha Chashuva. And she was Persian. Haman was an Amalekite. Haman was a foreigner. And he married a Chashuva Persian woman, a Miuchasis. Someone of great lineage. And they were in Persian. She insisted on speaking Persian. And Haman couldn't stand it. He's Amaleki. He wants to speak whatever language the Amaleki speak. They have some kind of language. I don't know what it is, but they have an Amaleki language. It's probably English. I mean, and she refused. So the Vilna Gaon said he was personally motivated. If they kill Vashti for being uppity and rebelling against her husband, and then they sent out royal edicts that every woman should respect her husband, and she's the language in the house should be the language of the husband, so his wife will be intimidated. So according to the Vilna Gaon, his motivation in ridding the world of Vashti was because of a personal score that he wanted to settle with his wife, which is Mary Dekashkaka Pratis. I mean, the Kaddish Baruch Hu, the Kaddish Baruch Hu was the shatran between Haman and his special wife, which was the catalyst of great enmity between them and friction because she wouldn't speak any other language but Persian. And because of that, Haman was arranged to be one of the 7 advisors, and he was a hedge, he was Kavitz Baraish, and he advised Ahasuerus to judge it himself. And in the end, when Ahasuerus did not judge it himself, they decided that she should be put to death. All in order that his wife should speak the Amalek language. And Klai Yisrael, there was a Gzardin on Klai Yisrael from Isa. At that point, they were given a reprieve, and Vashti was put to death, Esther was put in place, and the Kadosh Baruch Hu was mocked in Refuah L'Makas. You see how there's no little things in the Megillah. There's a Taisus in Megillah, Daf Yud Beis, Amud Beis. It says something very similar to the Vilmagain, but with a little twist. Taisus says that Memukran was not Haman. Memukran was Daniel. Taisus is Megillah Yabez on Bix.
Well, is that a good thing or a bad thing after being
Peniel? Well, you listen to what the Taisa says, and then you'll draw your conclusions.
Daniel was a good person, right?
Daniel was a tzaddik. He was one of the Dili Adar. Tuna Rava. Mumukhan. Yesh Medrash. Shahay Daniel. Olufi Shahay Nasi Lissaris. He was married to a royal noblewoman. Shahisik doesn't remember. Shiksa? Doesn't say.
Oh, I'm kidding.
Doesn't say. She was greater than him. She was higher than him. Shalahay Yachal Achayful Adavu Koshayne. He wasn't able to coerce her to speak his language. Yachal Lies is Cain. So he advised Achashverosh to do thus. Daniel. Daniel bumped off Vashti. When Tais is a Pella Utsum, it's not our place to explain this right now. Maybe on some other occasion. But according to Tais, Daniel bumped off Vashti, and he didn't bump off Vashti because he was such a Mashas. He bumped off Vashti because he had to be the ruler in his house.
How can one say that about, you know, how they...
Very hard to understand. Listen, I'm not crying for Vashti.
Yeah,
he did a very good thing.
I understand how someone could be the ruler of his house, but to like do it like that?
I know, the combination of the two. Did he want to be the ruler of his house, you could understand.
Doesn't the Torah supposed to be like that?
Did he want to kill Vashti, you could understand it also. But the motivation for killing Vashti should be to become the ruler of his house. That's something which needs to be explained. And just to give you the first Nakuda, it's a repulsion. It's not because of small pettiness. This is something he had to be. Him being a ruler in his house had to have something with Tikkun Olam. Had to rely with Hashem's grander plan for this world and for Klal Yisrael. It had to be a greater thing than just speaking to your wife in Aramaic or Hebrew. I mean, his language was Hebrew. Daniel. Had to be a lot bigger than that. That's a starting point. Pasuk Yitzayim, Rabbi Yisrael. Kiyetzid v'amalka al-kal nashim. When the word gets out, what Vashti did, lahavzis baleim beineim, so then they're going to treat their husbands with disgrace and shame. The Amram, and they're going to say, "Oh, Melech HaKadosh Amar Avias Vashti, the king summoned Vashti, lefanav to come in front of him, v'lo boy, she didn't come." So this is bad. This is going to get out. So you see from this puzzle, there's a commentary called the Nachal Eshkol. The Memukhan was pointing out that there's going to be two catastrophes that are result from inaction. If you spare Vashti, number one, all the women over the entire kingdom are going to rebel against their husbands, and they're going to wear the pants in the family, so to speak.
Yeah.
And they're going to rule over their husband. But that's not enough to get Achashverosh angry. The second thing is that the king's covered and the eyes of the people is going to go down. So you have both things mentioned in this pasuk. Number one, Mahavis is Balayim Be'enayim, that this is going to affect the entire kingdom, that the covered of husbands is going to drastically take a downward spiral. And then it says, Ba'amim HaMelech HaKashverish Amal HaVis Vashti HaMalka Lefanu Leva. So he mentions that it was the king HaKashverish that she rebelled against, which is a direct crime against the Malucha, and is going to be a bezayin, it'll be a disgrace for the honor of the king. Of course, Haman puts the word Vashti first, and Malka second, because he's denigrating Vashti, and he's taking away from her covet, because she only became a queen after she got married to Achashverosh.
But wasn't she originally the queen?
No, she was a princess of a kingdom that didn't exist anymore.
No royal blood.
There's no royal blood if the kingdom doesn't exist anymore.
But if the kingdom comes back, then she becomes.
But there isn't. It's a Persian kingdom.
What was she?
Babylonian.
So being the child of an ex-president.
Right. Well, it's a child of being an ex-president when the United States doesn't exist anymore. It's much more.
Maybe the president's son has become president.
Let's continue the post of Yudkas, Rabbi Isai. Vayem Azeh, and today, Tamar Nesoros Paris and Madai, the noble women of Persian and Media will say, Asher Shamu Zerah Amalka, they heard what the queen said and what she did, Chosari Amelech, to the office of the king, who could die by Zayim Katzim, there's going to be a lot of shame and anger. The reverberations will be felt throughout the kingdom. So, the Megillah Starim asks on this pasuk. The pasuk sort of stops in the middle of a statement. Haman's saying, Ramukhada is saying, Hayam is that today, Tamar Nesoros Paris and Madai. The noble women of Persian media are going to say. And it doesn't say what they're going to say. Hayam is that today, they're going to say. They're going to say what? Take a look in the pasuk. They're going to say what? They heard about what the king did, and there's going to be a lot of shame and anger. It doesn't say what they said. It says what they heard, but it doesn't say what they said. What are they going to say? It's a pella. Another kasha that the Megillah Starim asks, it doesn't seem that Haman is concerned with the king's honor. All he mentions is the office of the king. So they're going to be effective. That's Marid de Bamalchus. And we have enough examples in the Torah to know that when you tevei the covet of a servant of the king, and there's a glaring omission of the honor of the king, that's Mamish Marid de Bamalchus. You know, by Yaev and David. Not by you, but Uyachiti and David. Uyachiti, the husband of Bathsheba. Uyachiti was judged to be a married Bamalchus. He rebelled against the king. What was Uyachiti?
It was Abigail,
wasn't it? No, that was Nabal. Uyachiti was Bathsheba's husband. David HaMelech had him recalled from the war.
And
David HaMelech said, I want you to go home. Uyachiti said, But my master Yaev, the servant of the king, he's in the field. I have to go out to him. I can't leave in the field. I'm in the middle of a war here. I got to go out there. He mentioned Yaev and Tzruya's name before David HaMelech's name. That means he gave him covet, gave him more covet than he gave his own king, and he paskened on him. He donned him lemisa. He was judged for a capital punishment. Because when you're talking to a king, you don't introduce somebody else's honor, somebody else's covet. That's a bazillion. It's a chassan of covet malchus. You find it in Parshas Lech Lecha, that Shame, the son of Noach, came out to greet Avram Avinu after Avram Avinu had vanquished the Arba Malachim, the four kings. And Shem gives Avraham Avinu a bracha. He says, Baruch, what's in the Chumash? Shem came out to greet Avram. He brought him lechem and yayin. He brought him out bread and wine. And he blessed Avram. Vayim and baruch Avram l'keil elyon k'ani shemayim v'aretz. Blessed is Avram to the God upon high, creator of shemayim v'aretz. Shem lost the kahuna. He was a kain. He lost the kahuna. It was given to Avram Avinu. as a direct result of him placing Avraham Avinu's name before Hashem's name. Oh no.
So what do you say? Is it blessed the name of Avram?
Blessed is Avram to the God upon high. So he was giving Avram Avinu a brach and he mentioned his name before Hashem's name.
Shame did this?
He lost the kuna. So Oyachito is Chayimisa. Shame lost the kuna. And Haman is doing the same thing. He's saying, look at what happened to all the officers. You know, off with his head. Listen, we would be pleased. How much Chayim Misa? How does he do this? Is he crazy?
Mukhan's Chayim Misa. Might have been Daniel.
Right. Yeah, Mukhan's Chayim Misa. I guess so. I guess that was good for Daniel. So Megillah Stein says, that's not pshat in the Pasuk.
Yeah, wasn't too smart?
That's not pshat in the... He was smart.
Didn't realize what
it
was said to him.
No, there's an answer. We'll say the answer. Maybe you'll understand. That's not pshat in the Pasuk. Menucha wasn't quoting what the woman was saying. He reads the pasuk differently. And today, Tamarna saras pars amadai. Tamarna doesn't mean that they're going to talk about what the king, you know, the Bezayin that the king went through. And it's going to cause grief to the Sarim. Hayim Azeh from today, Tamarna Saras Paras Amadai means they're going to be the sayers. Tamarna means they're going to dictate things. They're going to give orders. They're going to be the ones to give the orders. Tamarna Saras Paras Amadai from today on, they are going to be the ones that make the pronouncements, and things are going to be run according to the way you say. Because instead of the king running the kingdom through his officers, which is a good thing for the king, the women of the king are going to be running the kingdom. So he answers both questions with one side. The reason why he doesn't say what they said, it just says they're going to say, is because we're not referring to the gossip that they were passing from one to the other about what Vashti did to Achashverosh. We're referring to a minor as something in the future, not in the past. They will be the sayers, they're going to say. They're going to say everything. Everything's going to be run by what they say. So that's why it doesn't say what they said, because we're talking about them being the sayers. There's the sayers and there's the sayees. They're going to be the sayers. So that's why it doesn't say what they said. They're going to say everything. They'll be the sayers. Tamarna doesn't mean they said something. Tamarna, they're going to be the ones to say. And when he mentions the Sarim, he's not saying that it's a crime against the Sarim and he's defending their honor. He's just saying that they just lost their position as emissaries of the king to run the kingdom. Because the women are going to run everything. And that's directly relevant to the king. So he wasn't defending the covenant of the Sarim, he was defending the covenant of the king throughout. Tamarna. The Vilna Gaon takes note in this pasuk that there's two repercussions that Merucha is pointing out. One is Dvar Amalka, the word of the queen will get spread, the things she said, her responses, and then Uchadai Buzayi V'Katsev, to be a spread of shame and anger. So he said that this is referring to two different stages. In the entire kingdom, it was a large kingdom with considerable holdings. Kukhav Zayin Medina, 127 provinces. It's going to take time to spread. So that's not imminent. That will take time, and eventually it's going to happen. But today, you have to be worried about Persia, because that's immediate. Immediately, they're going to hear what Vashti said. That's immediately. That starts right now. And then eventually, the anger is going to spread to the rest of the world. So Rabbi Gaon reads the pasuk thus: "Vayem azeh today, Hayom says today. Tamar says pasuk on Monday. They're going to talk about it. Rishon Shemesh Ramalka. They're going to talk about what the queen said. So according to the Rabbi Gaon, we're talking about the gossip. The Kosei Amelach. That we have to worry about today." And the rest of the kingdom is Kedai B'Zayin Rekotzim. That's the second stage, which is not going to happen today, but eventually there's going to be a lot of anger and shame that's going to spread to the rest of the kingdom. That's Pasuk Yitkas. Pasuk Yitkas, Rabbi Say. Imam HaMelech Toiv, if it's good and acceptable in front of the king, Yetzid V'Malchus Mufanav, let a royal edict go out in front of him, because of B'Dasi Poros Amadai, let it be written in the statutes of Persia, Media, of Layavar, never ever to be removed from the law books. Asher Leitavei Vashti Fnei HaMelech HaKashverosh. Vashti shouldn't come no more. Vashti shouldn't come anymore. No more Vashti. Shouldn't come. Machusa Yitad HaMelech LeRusa HaTavim Mimena. And her crown should be given, the king should give, to Reusa means someone she has something in common with. It doesn't mean friend in this case. Reusa means someone of her stature. How type of man with someone better than her? Very interesting.
So
fact.
Isn't that so contradictory? The Reusa Tova Mimena?
Someone of royal blood is better than her. What that happens? That's Pesach Shad. She has the same royalty running through her veins. But tell me, man, but she's better because she won't be able to put suffered against the king. That's the push-up shot. The Vilna Gaon says that this is another critical point in the Megillah. There's something that happens in this pasuk that the entire Hatzalah of Klal Yisrael is dependent on it. The Medayik from the pasuk says, Yetzid V'Malchus Mofanav. Let the word of the majesty go out in front of him. What does that mean?
Send out proclamations.
Well, the guy says what it means is they were effecting a change in the judicial system. Until then, there was always a system. There was a procedure. They went from one court to a higher court, depending on what it was. And even though the king was on the top of the mountain, he was at the top of the pyramid, but he didn't get involved with anything directly. Haman wanted to change that. He wanted to change that because he wanted to empower Achashverosh. And he wanted that the last word in all court cases should be with the king. He should be directly involved with every single case. And he should be the Pesach. Yetzid V'Malchus Mofanav, the Vilna Gaon explains that from now on everything should go in front of the king. Mofanav. That V'Malchus should go Mofanav, in front of Achashverosh. And he should have instant power of life and death. Again, this is part of Haman's plan to get Vashti assassinated, like the Vilna Gaon says. But you know, Ashkacha, the ways of Ashkacha, the ways of divine providence are wondrous. Had Achashverosh not possessed this power, if there would have been a protocol, there was a dignitary of the court, comes under a specter of rebellion, a chiyuv misa, so you have to go through a system of judges and intermediaries, he wouldn't have been able to kill Haman. All Haman needed was a bit of time. He could have extricated himself from the circumstances. You know, the judges are his friends. You pay them off, you know, or they don't want to kill him. What if they don't want to kill him?
That's what it says why Esther invited Haman to the meal.
If she wanted to get Achashverosh good and angry.
And then he's right there, so boom.
He's immediately here. But Achashverosh had the power to do it. The kings in those days, they didn't have unlimited power. They couldn't take the second in command. He was the ringbearer of the king. And have him put to death without due process? But Achashverosh did. And who gave him that power? Haman gave him that power. Yetzid V'Malchus Mofanav. If Haman wouldn't have died, that would have been all over for Klal Yisrael. That summer was Haman dying. So Haman saved the Bnei Yisrael. Pele, pele, pele. Yeter. Like the Megillah Stam also learns like this. He says the word Yeter means it should fill the entire kingdom. Yeter, go out. What does it mean to go out? It should fill the word of the king should fill the entire kingdom. There should be no other law but the king. No alternate systems, even in the periphery. You have to wait for the king. Yeter means it should fill the entire kingdom.
That
I'm
enforcing.
What?
Why not use the word Malay? Fill why Yate is send out. To go out.
Send out the message.
But if we're saying to fill up this, why use the lesson of going out?
Because you said that writer.
I would say because then you wouldn't have a Pashup shot. There's different levels of understanding the Psukim. There's a Pashup shot and there's a Drush. This is a Drush. But say Yamali, then you're using the word that's appropriate for the drush and the pasuk shot. Yetzir means it went out. It means that he sent it out with shluchim. He sent out with shluchim. Then there's a deeper meaning. Well, unfortunately, battle with the following. It never says anywhere in Haman's suggestions that Vashti should be put to death. Did you notice that? She shouldn't come.
Somebody should be put in her place.
So the girl, she shouldn't come, and her crown should be given to someone better than her. Doesn't say anywhere she should die. So the girl Stone says that when you're talking, you know, royal people in the royal court, they didn't like using raw, uncouth terminology like killing and blood and death. And that's the way they said it. They said it was a euphemism. It's a euphemism. When you say she shouldn't come, meaning that you make make it happen that she can't come. Like Torah means.
What was that
to
say?
She shouldn't come. She shouldn't come. Why shouldn't she come? Because she shouldn't come. What? How should I do it? Use your wisdom. Use your smarts. Make it be that she shouldn't come. The Rambam Gaon goes a little further with this point. He says that besides the death penalty, there was a separate gzeira on her that she shouldn't come. That she's put to death, that's obvious. But this is in addition to the death penalty. He doesn't want her to come. Literally. If one guy loses it literally, he doesn't want her to come. It was on the law books that Vashti is never allowed to see Achashverosh's face again. He says there are two reasons to that. He said one is because if she's able to see Achashverosh's face, she could beg for her life. And she was a beautiful woman. And Achashverosh would be loath to put her to death if he would see her. And Amos was afraid of this. He was scared. But with all this intrigue, all she needs is one meeting with the king, and she'll find some way of saving her life. And then he's in big trouble. So including the Zaydin.
So notice how he said big trouble and I
walked away. Including the Zaydin was that she can't see the king. Mamish. That's Meredith. He's covering all the bases. She's not allowed to see him anymore. The other reason the Vildegard says is he really wanted to intimidate. This is his main motive, according to the Chazal, was he wanted to intimidate all the other wives in the kingdom, including his own, especially his own. And if Vashti's put to death, he said there's a limit to how much they're going to be intimidated because they're not going to make an exact parallel between themselves and Vashti. King Achashverosh has the power to have Vashti put to death. But if this schnook of a husband tries to get them put to death, they'll beat him over the head with a frying pan. Right? So he wanted part of the Gzardin to include something that would intimidate them as well. That there's been, you know, that the king decreed that there should be no more relationship anymore between him and Vashti. And she's like a harem, and she can't have any contact with him. And that's something which a husband could do to his wife. That's why he wanted part of the Xerah to relate to them.
A husband could put his wife in Harem?
And the, yeah, sure. That much power you have. That much power you have. Put her in the back bedroom, take away your servants, leave the house long periods of time. That much power they did have. The Word of God continues that her crown should be given, the Ruz HaTayv Mimenu. Give it to somebody else. The Word of God says there's an amkus here, there's a depth in this phrase. He was telling Akash Verish, what are you afraid of? You're going to lose your queen? You're going to lose your kashivas? It wasn't Vashti's kashivas in the first place. Remember, she's Vashti Amalka. She was a lady that she washed tea leaves for a living. Vashti. She Vashti. She had no kashivas. She had no prestigiousness, no cover. Her whole cover was that she came and married you and you made her into a queen. If that's true, so it doesn't make a difference who you marry. You're going to end up with the same kashivas because whoever you marry is going to be your queen, and you're going to give her a crown, and she's going to have the exact same kashivas that Vashti had. And she'll be even better than Vashti. So find anybody that you like better. If you're worried about the chashivas comes from you, Achashverosh, not from the... didn't come from Vashti. See, he was telling Achashverosh basically what he wanted him to hear. The chashivas emanates from you. You are the makar of the chashivas. You're the source of all the prestige. So whoever you marry is going to be prestigious. So you don't have a problem. You have no problem finding a chas of a shidduch. You marry her, she's a chas of a shidduch.
We said earlier on that Vashti was the one that got the kingdom back up there.
That's what she tied it. They had different points of view. Venishma piskun ha-melech, and let the law of the king be heard. Asher yaseh, which he's going to do, he'll act on it. Become achuso throughout his kingdom. Kirabi, it is great. Pasachav. V'chal anashim yitnu yikol abalayim. They will render honor to their husbands. L'migadol v'ad katan, whether great or small. What does it mean, Kirabi, it's great? What's great? What's the phrase going on? What's it referring to? We go to Stein learns, Kirabi means that the Gzardin, the decree, is a great decree. This is a decree that's going to be heard. This is a decree that's going to go down in history. This is a great thing you're doing, Achashverosh. It's a great decree. The Vologan says a little bit differently. There's going to accomplish great things. There's going to be great things coming out of it. The king is going to become greater because of it. That's what Avodah learns. It's not the decree that's great, it's the king that's great. Kirabi, this is going to cause the king to be great. Because everyone's going to be scared of the king. And they're going to see that there's nothing that the king won't judge himself. Achashverosh was hesitant to judge this case. And people, they feel a certain sense of safety that there's certain cases the king doesn't involve himself in. But if the king involves himself, even in this case, that there's nothing that he doesn't involve himself personally in, that's going to scare the schnitzel out of people. The apocha is going to fill the kingdom. There's nobody safe. Kirabahi. It's going to make the king great. That's Prash Mishat. The Medrash says, "V'nishma piskam ha-melech, let the law of the king be heard." Asher yaseh, which he's going to do, b'chol malchusei throughout his kingdom, ki rabahi. That according to the Gemara, that every time it says ha-melech, it's referring to Melech Malkei Hamelechim, Hakadosh Baruch Hu. V'nishma piskam ha-melech, it's going to be heard the edict of the king. What edict are we referring to? This is the beginning of Mechias HaMalek. Nishma Piska HaMelech. This is the beginning of the end for Haman. Haman looks at it that his fortunes are rising. He's going to kill Vashti. He's going to become an important husband. He's going to rise up in the king. This is the end of HaMalek. Because with Vashti's passing, Esther takes her place. And this is the end of HaMalek. Nishma Piska HaMelech. By Vashti's dying, by Vashti being put to death, there's going to be reverberations throughout the Bria, throughout the Kodesh Baruch Hu's Malchus, that Amalek is at an end. They're about to be exterminated. Machi Timcha, Ezecha Amalek. Bechal Malchusay, and all his Malchus. Pasuk Havala for Baisay. Vayita Vadav Rebbeinu Amalek. It was taiv, it was good and acceptable in the eyes of the king, Vasarim, and the officers. Vayas HaMelech Yidvar Memuchan. And the king acted according to the word of Memuchan. The Rebbe Gaon points out one thing in this pasuk. He says, "You see, the Kadosh Baruch Hu, the hands of the Melech, the heart of the Melech, and of the governing officials, are in the Kadosh Baruch Hu's hands." The pasuk says, "There's a pasuk that says, Lev Melechim Biyad Hashem. The hand of a king is in the heart of Hashem. Every person has bechira, bechira chafshi." There's one being in this world that has no bechira, and that's a melech. Once he becomes a melech, he loses his bechira. His hand is in the heart. His heart is in the hands of Hashem. Lev Melech Biyad Hashem. Do you hear what's going on here in this pasuk? Do you hear what's going on in this pasuk? Just think about it from their point of view. Ahasuerus finds merit in killing Vashti over something she did. Well, she didn't do anything wrong. Like his very friends, married and killing Vashti, like Mr. Villagun pointed out before. That the entire party was dedicated to fulfilling the wish of each and every person. And not forcing them into anything that they're hesitant to embark upon. And here, like his very is doing the opposite. For 187 days, and he's in a certain mode. And just like that, he's able to turn around his heart. His heart is beyond Hashem. His heart doesn't belong to him. But he sees the merits of this. What merits? The Vilagate says the Sarim. Does the Sarim realize what just happened to them? Do you realize what just happened to the Sarim? Let me ask you something. Until then, who ran the kingdom?
The Sarim.
The Sarim ran the kingdom. They were emissaries of the king to run the kingdom. They're the ones that ran the kingdom. What just happened?
They lost
all the power. Every single thing comes to the king. They just became stripped of their power. They became powerless. They're figures. They're shadows of their former self. They're facades. Puppets. And it says in the pasuk, "Vayitav Adavu Ve'eni Amelach Vasarim." They said, "Oh, that's a good idea." How could a person think that's a good idea? People strive for power. They're willing to do anything for power.
They've never been killed.
The reason why is because of Kadosh Baruch Hu took their hearts and turned it over. That's the only reason. That's what Vilna Gaon says. Their hearts was in the hand of Hashem. They lost the Bechir. They lost the Bechir because Vashti had to be killed. Lev Melechim Biyad Hashem. Hashem has the heart of a king in his hands. That means he has Mechira, but the moment Hashem wants to turn the lathe, it's already in the hand. It's in the hand. It's a muscle. Baparo, the Rishanim explained that he did have Mechira. I mean, there's different truths of Baparo. The Rambam and the Ramban. That's one of the Mahakam Baparo. The problem with Baparo is that he got punished. You see, it's different. Ahasuerus didn't get punished for killing Vashti. So you can say Kadosh Baruch Hu. But Paragat Pa, that's the reason over there it's difficult to say it, because Kadosh Baruch Hu was laying Malachim behind Hashem, so then he would have gotten punished. But here it's easy. You didn't get punished for killing Vashti. Killing Vashti, you should give him a prize for killing Vashti. They just lost every bit of power that they had, and Zvayita Vatam. You see the Maifsim? You see the Maifsim? Every single word here is an ace. What do you think?